All right, let's start off in the book of Ezra. You may want to turn it down a little bit, brother. I don't know how it sounds out there, but it don't sound good up here. The book of Ezra. I got talking to one of my kids the other day, and they were mentioning about getting... basically what it is not having a desire to want to do what you know that you're supposed to do. And as a Christian, everyone goes through those times where you're not as fired up as what we say. You're not as fired up as you once were. And there basically came the realization that nothing really matters. And you know what that means. I mean, there's been times where you're in your life and you're walking around, or you're thinking one day, or something's going on, you're sitting here in that church, or you may be anywhere, and the thought just crosses your mind thinking, man, here I am, this old right here, and I ain't doing anything, and really what I want to do in life don't even matter. And life goes on, time goes on, and it's seems like it's exciting, it seems like things need to happen, and people are always telling you, you got deadlines to meet, you got this is coming up, and then you realize it comes and it goes, and then next year it's going to happen again, and you begin to realize, you know what, it don't matter. And you get to that point where you start sitting here and you're thinking, you know, I ain't doing anything. I'm not doing anything for the Lord at all. And it's good to get to those points, because what happens is when you get to that point, that's the Lord dealing with you. And a person, we all get those points to where we're looking around and we're thinking, you know, the things that I thought that if I did this, it would matter in life, and it don't matter in life. And you look at things like graduation. I mean, it's been 30 years since I graduated at Scott High in 1986. And you know what? There's been 30 graduating classes since then. And you know what? There's going to be another one next year, and there's going to be another one next year, and there's going to be another one next year. And it seems like it's important at the time. And if you've got kids or grandkids or family, it is an important event and it's a milestone. But honestly, there's going to be another one. And I tell my kids all the time, as they get older and get close to graduation, I said, you have spent your entire life, everything has been about you. Everything. They're raising you and they're trying to make sure you've got everything you need to make it. They're giving you everything. You've got all the people that you're with. You've been with them for 12 years and some 13 and 14 years. and you sit there and you've got this camaraderie, but the only thing holding you together is that being in school. And as soon as you're out of school, it's over. Those friendships are gone. Your life, no one cares about your life anymore. Nobody cares what you're doing anymore. I would tell them, I said, as soon as you walk across that stage, you become irrelevant. And it was so funny because last year when Stephen was graduating, he was one of them that got to stand up and give a speech. And so he's got the attention of everybody in that whole gymnasium as he's standing up there giving his speech. And he's done the grades and done the things and all that stuff, and he's getting up there and people are listening to him like he's somebody. And we get there this year and we're walking in. I'm standing there and I look and we ain't even got a seat. We're standing there. It's me and Stephen and Sarah, I guess, Jenny. We're standing back there, and we ain't even got a seat. And I'm thinking, boy, here you go one year from everybody's listening to you. Now they don't even care if you're sitting down. That's how irrelevant we are. That's how it means nothing. And that's just where we're at. And when you get to the point to realize we ain't all that, and it's not really that big a deal. And when you look at our life compared to history, and you begin to go back 200 years just in America, almost 250 years now. In America, we're sitting here and we're thinking about America, and we're looking at what's went on, the people that's come and gone and died, and there's bits and pieces of history that we can go back and look at, but there are so many people that died that we don't even know who they are. Don't even know who they are. And we come to this realization and we begin to realize, you know what? Man, we are such nothing. We are nothing. We don't even matter. I mean, you can go one county over and nobody even knows who we are. You go the next county over and definitely nobody knows who you are. And our life don't matter. It don't matter what we've done. It don't matter what we've accomplished. And what's going to happen don't matter. But the only thing that matters is the Lord. And you get to that point and you begin to realize, you know what? When you get to that point, and then you start thinking, man, I ain't even doing anything for God anymore. And you hear people say those things like, I just don't have that excitement. It's just not exciting to me no more. I don't have that excitement anymore that I once had for the Lord. And that's what I want to preach about tonight. You know, a few years ago, I can remember being over there at the mall, and my wife was in there shopping, I guess, and my kids, I don't know, but I hate going to the mall. And it was funny. They get excited about going to the mall. Women get excited about shopping, and they're going in these stores, and they do not even have to buy anything. They don't even have to be going to the mall to buy something. And then they're excited. And they're in there, and they're just, oh, did you look at this? Look at this! And I'm sitting here looking at it. I'm thinking, it's another dress. It's another pair of pants. It's another pair of shoes. I'm looking at it, and they're talking. And then they set it down. And they don't buy it. For 24 years, I've watched this phenomenon go on. And they look, and they're excited, and they're fired. If I see something I want, I get it. I don't understand, but they get excited. And then in the middle of the mall, what you have is you have all these chairs and benches. And you can walk through there. And you know what you see? You see a bunch of men. And they all are sitting there, and they've got this look on their face. A few years ago, I was over there, and Miss Andrea's mom was shopping. And I went over there, and I get ready to sit down in one of those chairs, and I saw her mom's husband, her stepdad, Ron. He sat there. I said, hey, what are you doing? I said, let me guess. Shopping. He said, yeah. It looks like there's this look. But let me tell you something I saw is funny. A couple weeks ago, Julia had a basketball tournament in Pigeon Forge. And somebody was wanting me to build something for them. And they said they had one of them at the Bass Pro Shop. I've never been to Bass Pro in my life. I've never been there. So we're driving over there. I leave early so I can go to Bass Pro Shop. I walk in, and it's amazing. Man, you look like you're out in the woods. I mean, you do. You look like you're out in the woods. I mean, there's trees, and there's, you know, you're looking, thinking maybe it might be a tornado hit here in a minute. I mean, it's like you're outside. And you're walking around, and there are men that are going, look at this! Look at this! Man! And they put it back and don't buy it. And you're looking at it, and they're going over. And in the middle of this, they got this big fish tank. I mean, the water's coming down. There's fish inside there. I mean, it's the most amazing. It's honestly, it's amazing looking. And I turn around, and they've got like this place you can eat. And I see these women sitting at this chair. And they got this look. And I'm like, oh, yeah! Facebook that, baby! Get that on it! That's what I'm going to say. And that's great. You know what? Those women were not stirred up at all. Not excited at all. And the men, they wasn't excited. And the point I'm making is things get you excited. You can get excited. You can get stirred up. You know what people say? They'll say, oh, people can't get me stirred up. You are emotional. You get stirred up over something. There is something that will stir you up. I don't care what. Okay, you know, you beat people like, well, these preachers get in here and they'll try to tell funny jokes or they'll tell a story, try to get you stirred up. I ain't preaching. I ain't going to listen to that stuff. Yeah, so what you want is somebody who don't stir you up. Guess what? That's what stirs you up, somebody that don't stir you up. It's like somebody saying, I'm non-denominational. Oh, well, that's another denomination, non-denominational. You can't get away from it. You're emotional. You're going to get, that brother preached a few weeks ago at a meeting here. He got up and made a couple statements a couple times. He said, talking about his grandkids, said best looking grandkids there are. I bet you there's some of you in here that got emotional. I bet you when he talked about he got some pictures of the best looking grandkids that you said, oh, you got some of my grandkids' pictures? You thought that in your head. You know, you get emotional about something. There is something, you know why? Because that's the way you're wired. And what happened to you as a Christian is you'll sit down and you'll get to the point of thinking, all they're trying to do is get me stirred up, to get me to get out here. And there's almost like something will come over to you to where you're not going to let that happen to you. You know what? That's the way God's made it. He wants a preacher to get you stirred up. He wants to get you excited. He wants you to just get consumed with getting excited and listening to what a preacher's got to say and getting fired up about it. He wants you to do those things. You know what? Because you're wired that way, the world knows you're wired that way. The devil knows you're wired that way. You know what he's going to do? He's going to use that against you. He's going to try to get you excited and stirred up about the things of the world. Now, in Ezra chapter 1, let me show you something. Go to Ezra chapter 1 and look in verse 1. Look what the Bible says. Ezra 1:1. Bible says, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled." Look what it says, what the Lord did. "The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying," and it goes on to tell what he was saying. Now here's what happens. What you have is you have a trigger. Something is going to stir you up. There is something that's going to trigger you. You know what it was? It was the Lord. The Lord was the trigger right there. So what you have is you've got a trigger when it comes to getting stirred up. There is a trigger. There is something that is going to get you stirred up. That's the way it works. So there's a trigger. There's something that's going to produce this stirring inside your soul or inside your spirit. Now he says, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled." The Lord, there's the trigger. You know what that is? That's what's going to get you stirred up. That's the mall. That's those clothes that those girls, those women see. And they're all excited. Look at this. Look at this pattern, this chevron pattern. I thought chevron was a gas station. Now it's some kind of pattern you put on clothes. There's something that's going to trigger a woman. She's going to get excited about it, whether it's shoes. Some ladies may not. Some ladies may get stirred up about Bass Pro. They may say, "Man, I've been over there. I love that place. I don't know what it is, but something is going to trigger it to where you're going to get stirred up." You will get stirred up over something. And so the Lord is a trigger. He says the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus. So something inside him, something inside you and me, your heart, your spirit, your desires, your emotions, your soul, is going to get stirred up. It's going to get you excited. And so you got the trigger that stirred up that person. And then what it says then is, "The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing." So you know what he did? After he got stirred up, he made a proclamation. So what you have is you have a trigger, and then you get stirred up, and then you have a result. That's what you have. That's the way it works. And it works over and over and over in the Bible. In life, I don't care what it is, something will stir you up. There are things in your life, and it don't even hear what it is. It says that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus. Your emotions. So it's going to be your emotions that get stirred up. So you know what? That's going to be your senses are going to see is going to be what is the trigger is going to use. The trigger is going to trigger your senses, your emotions. There's things that can get me excited. If you just picture this for a second. All right, let's say it's wintertime. And you're getting out of your vehicle, and it's not like so cold the wind's cutting you in half, but it's cold enough you've got a jacket on. You can feel the cold air on your face, and you're breathing in. It feels like it's just clear, clean, crisp air. It's probably in the evening time, about 5:30 or 6. It's dark. You're getting out of your vehicle. You start walking toward a building. Once you get inside that building, you begin to smell popcorn. Then you start to hear squeaking sounds of shoes. So what is that's a gym. You know what? That gets me excited. I like basketball. And I can sit there and just hearing the smelling pop. I love popcorn at ball games. I love it. And I can get, you know what it does? It begins to hit my emotions. It gets me stirred up. I go to the concession stand. You say, "How much you pay?" I don't know what the price is. I just go say, "I want some popcorn." They say $5. I'd probably pay it. I just want it. I just want to do it. I start hearing those squeaking sounds. I start hearing a whistle blow. I hear a pit. You hear you're standing at the concession stand. The crowd roars. All of a sudden, I start looking. So what is it? Those are all emotions that are triggered by events that are going on. And everybody's like that. You've got stuff in your life. If you think about it, if you're a fisherman, I mean, the weather's starting to break. It's starting to be pretty outside. I'm at work, and I start hearing people talk about fishing, talk about wetting a line. I tell you, man, the lake, you know, they start talking about whatever different fish they talk about. I don't know anything about it. You get past a bobber. And one line and a hook. You know, you're past where I'm at fishing. But there's some people that like it. And they get talking about it. I can sit here and start talking about it. And some of you sitting right now thinking, "Yeah, I was there last week, man. It, whatever." And get ready to go. Dr. Ruckman would talk about fishing down there in Florida. And he'd get talking about fishing and throwing the net out there and all that stuff. You could just see, man. It would just excite him. You say, what is that? That's your emotions. You get stirred. You get stirred up. Regardless of who you are and what's going on, no matter how hard and callous you want to act, well, I'm just hard and callous, nothing stirs. Something stirs you up. Something gets you going. And here in Ezra chapter 1, you see what you have. You have a trigger. Then you have the stirring, and then you have a result. And that's what happens. And look over in Psalm. Go to Psalm 35. And so here's what we're talking about. We're talking about people that's gotten to the point to where they're not doing anything for the Lord. And they've gotten to the point to where they're saying things like, I just don't get excited about God no more. Things of God, I'm just not excited anymore. I don't know what's wrong with me, you know. You see the slides of the missionaries and you hear the preacher preaching, he gets excited and, whatever. So what is that? That's called being backslid. That's what it's called. And it's called something else is getting a hold of your heart and your emotions and they're stirring you up for other things. You say, Brother Jack, you don't even know me. I know me. I know what happens to me. I know how my heart, I know there's been times during the playoffs and NFL, I mean, I'm getting ready to be telling on myself here, that a game's going on that I had to leave to come to church and I wanted to stay and watch the football game. And I'm at church, I'm having to make myself not wonder what's going on and pray, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. I keep losing my focus. I know y'all don't go through nothing like that. I do. My mind will get off. You say, what is it? You get to where something else has got your heart, it's got your emotions. You're getting stirred up over something different. What are you stirred up over right now? What gets you stirred up? What gets you moving? You know what people do right now? You got politics get you stirred up. I hear people saying, well, you know, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, what's the difference? What's the difference? What's the difference? Hillary Clinton said she will shut the NRA down if she gets in to be president. She will be the worst president when it comes to abortion laws that's ever lived. She'll be against the military. She'll be against America. She'll be for freeloaders. She's against everything that we are. She's against everything that we're for. What's the difference? That ought to get you stirred up. Man, I don't want to say what I wish would happen to her. They're recording. I wish we didn't have to worry about her. I'll tell you that. I wish that Obama didn't have to worry about Obama. And there's only a few ways it would happen where I didn't have to worry about him anymore. You say, what is it? It gets me fired up. Brother Jack talking about his nephew going in the military. He don't want Hillary Clinton as president, I can tell you that. My son Joshua talking about going to military. I don't want Hillary Clinton as commander-in-chief and Bill Clinton as the first lady. Are you kidding? Not a difference. Golly, how can a person say that? Well, there ain't no difference. Yeah, there's a difference. I don't care how bad Donald Trump is. He's not Hillary Clinton. The Second Amendment will be gone. She said, I'm going to stop the Second Amendment. I'm against guns. That's what she said. She shouldn't be nowhere even close to getting votes. What gets you stirred up? It ought to get you stirred up. In Psalm chapter 35, Psalm chapter 35, talking about not being stirred up for the Lord. In Psalm chapter 35, Psalm of David here, he's talking and he's talking about the Lord. He's wanting God to do something for him. Look at verse 1. It says, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of a shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say to my soul, I am thy salvation. And he starts going through here and he's asking God to do something. And he goes on down through there and he says, look down at verse 17. He said, Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, Aha, aha, our eye has seen it. This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silence, O Lord. Be not far from me. He's wanting the Lord to do something. And look what he says there in verse 23. He says, stir up thyself. You know what he's saying? God, get stirred up for my cause. God, start doing something. God, get excited about what I'm going through. He's wanting God to get stirred up. And he says, stir up thyself. So you know what you can do? You can stir yourself up. And you can get stirred up about the things of God. You can say, you're sitting here tonight, I don't know where you're at with the Lord. But if you're sitting here tonight and you're saying, you know what? Things just are not like they used to be. And I'm not getting anything done for God. I'm not even excited about getting anything done. I don't care if people are dying going to hell. I don't care. I'm going to church. I'm going through the motions. Listen, you can stir yourself up. You say, what do you got to do? You got to have a trigger. Something's got to stir you up. So what you got to do, you know what David's trying to give as the trigger for the Lord? Him. David is wanting to be the trigger. He's saying, Lord, look what I'm going through, Lord. Get stirred up over my cause. God, look at what my enemies are doing to me. David's trying to be the trigger. And the results that he's looking for is for God to do something in his life to the people that are persecuting him. And so what he's trying to get the Lord to do is to get stirred up. You know what you need? You need to get stirred up. And don't let people say, well, you know, you tell these exciting stories and I'm just not going to, the preacher ain't going to control me like that. He needs to control you like that. That's the way God's made it. You need to get stirred up. You know what you need? You need to hear good stories about people that's serving the Lord. You need to hear good news about people getting saved. You need to hear things that's going on. You need to hear those things instead of what's going on in the world and getting excited about who won Dancing with the Stars. You know what? People get stirred up over that. They get stirred up over things that's going on TV. They get excited about it. They can't wait. I do too. And I hate it. You know what I've noticed? I've noticed I'm terrible. I ain't watched TV for 20-something years. And my kids, they got this thing called Netflix where you can watch a whole season in a week. You don't have to wait till the week after and the week after. And that got me watching this show called Lost. Like, I ain't watching this stupid show. Now, who's that guy right there? Well, what? So, are they dead or are they in purgatory? Well, this is stupid. And the next thing you know, I'm sitting there. One more, just what time is it? 2:30 in the morning? I'm going to be sleepy anyway. One more episode. So, I get through Lost. I go through 6 seasons in about 2 weeks. Bloodshot eyes. I'm sitting there. I think, what is going on? Find out later. I'm on Julia's prayer list. Help Dad. He's backslid watching TV, God. I don't know what's happened to him. So I get past it. Get past it. Then one night I come home and Sarah and Beth, Satan's tools, he's got this show called Once Upon a Time. I'm like, Once Upon a Time? Oh, it's all these nursery things, these Walt Disney movies. That's stupid. It's the stupid. Well, now who's she? Well, wait, why are you here in this town and it's 1980s and now you're back here in the medieval times? How is this? You say, what is it? You're emotional. Something can get your attention. You can get stirred up about something. Then you know what? You think about it. You think about it when you're away and you think, man, I get home today. I bet I can get a couple of episodes in before. So what it's called getting consumed. Getting consumed with something that you shouldn't be consumed with. You know what we ought to be consumed with? We ought to be consumed with doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what happens is, we can stir ourselves up. The Lord, God, David's saying, Lord, stir yourself up. You can stir yourself up. But you got to have the right trigger. Which means you got to get away from Lost, and you got to get away from Once Upon. You got to get away from Netflix. You got to get away. You got to look at yourself, and you got to say, you know what? What is ruling me right now? What do I think about during the day? What can I not wait to do? Because that's what's got control of you. And something will get control of you, and it'll get you stirred up, and it'll get your attention, it'll get you consumed, it'll get your time, it'll get your effort, and things that you should be worried about, you're not going to be worried about them. It just don't excite me no more. Just don't excite me no more. I don't know what it is. I just can't get, you know. Brother Dillard ain't changed how he preaches. He still preaches the Word of God. It don't matter. You know what it is? It's us. If we're not getting stirred up, it's us. So you can stir yourself up. Look over in Proverbs. Let me show what I mean about a trigger. Because you can get stirred up bad as well. And you can be controlled on things that you don't even realize you're controlled on. Go to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Look at verse 12. Look what it says. Hatred. Hatred. There's the trigger. Hatred stirreth up strifes. What's strifes? That's fights, contentions, arguments, problems. You know what it is? It's somebody that's got some emotions in them, some hatred that's in them. And that hatred is a trigger and it's stirring up contentions and arguments in their life. people that's always, they've always got, they're always bitter about somebody. They're always in an argument with somebody. They're always, something's going on with somebody. They've always got some kind of history. Let me tell you what so-and-so did today. Let me just tell you. And then the next week you talk to them. I'll tell you what so-and-so. And it's somebody different. And then the next week it's somebody different. The next week, and they've always got, you know what it is? It's hatred that's in their heart. It could be, because hatred stirs up strifes. Look over at Proverbs chapter 15. We sit here and pretend like we don't get stirred up and we're not emotional, but we are. Proverbs chapter 15, look at Proverbs chapter 15. The Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. I know that's true. I know what to say to make people mad. I may not even believe it, but if I'm mad at them, I know what to say that will get their goat and get them fired up to where they're ready to fight. You heard people say, "I'm just fighting words." I know what to say. I can do it. I'm good at knowing what and how to get it. And you know what the Bible says? It says, "Grievous words stir up anger." And so that trigger is grievous words. And you get stirred up, and the result is it's anger. What type of person does that? Look at verse 18, Proverbs 15. Look at verse 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife. A wrathful man. That's the type of person that's stirring up problems. Look at Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. 28. Verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. Always causing problems. Always getting somebody. Always into it with somebody. That's a proud, it says, he that is of a proud heart. Somebody's got a proud heart. Look at chapter 29. Look at verse 22. An angry man stirreth up strife. Somebody that stirs up strife is a wrathful man, an angry man, somebody that's proud, got a proud heart. You're using those emotions that they have to stir up strife, to stir up contention. So you got that trigger, and then you got the stirring up, and then you got the result. But the good thing is, look at Haggai. Go to Haggai. Go to Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1. And here's where I'm wanting to get to tonight. Is getting yourself stirred up for the Lord. Because here's the point. The point is, we're all going to get there. And if you're not, you need to see the importance. If you're there and you're not doing something for the Lord, you need to see the importance of getting control of your life. Because you're being controlled by something that you shouldn't be controlled by. And in Haggai chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 14, it says, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel. So it says, the Lord stirred up the spirit. It stirred up his spirit, governor of Judah. So the trigger is the Lord. The Lord is stirring him up. It says, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And look what the result is. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. So the trigger there is what? The trigger is the Lord. The Lord is the one that's going to get you stirred up. He says, then what do? You got to pray. You got to pray, and you got to be so adamant about what you're wanting from God. Hold your place there and look at Luke chapter 11. Now what's going to happen here is I'm going to show you something about prayer. Hold your place there. Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, the Bible says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, Luke 11:1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, and he goes through that pattern there for praying, and he says down there in verse 5, he says, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine and his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, now listen to what he says. Now he's teaching them how to pray, all right? And he says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And the point he's saying is, he may be your friend, but he ain't going to get up in the middle of the night and give you something. But if you just stand there at the door and keep knocking and keep asking, oh, come on, man. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Eventually it says, because of your importunity, because you keep pressing the issue, he wants it over with. He just wants to go, all right, here, I'm going to give it to you. That's what he's saying. And he says, and he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give thee because he's your friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? All right, now listen. Now people's going to stop right there. And they're going to tell you, look, you pray and you get what, if you need something from God, you just keep asking, he's going to give it to you. That's not what this is saying. Read on. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Lord is who's going to stir you up. And you know what you got to have? You got to have God working inside you. You can't work on your own. And you know what you got to have? You got to have importunity praying. If somebody tonight said, what do I need to do to get fired up again? What have I got to do to get stirred up? Ask God to stir you up. I just don't have that desire to read my Bible no more. I just don't have that desire to pray no more. I don't know, just things are cold at church. It's you. Go and ask God, Lord, look what I'm doing. Look where I'm at. God, I used to do this and I used to do that. And I didn't have to. I was excited about it. And I don't know why I was excited about it. You know what? There was a time in my life when I was as excited to go street preaching or to go house to house or to go read my Bible or to pray or to listen to preaching as I am as going to a basketball game or going to Bass Pro or going to the mall. There's a time in your life when you were more excited about that. There was there, you know what? You can have it back. You say, how do you get it? You pray and you ask God, Lord, this is where I'm at. You know where I'm at. I don't even want to pray this. God, give it to me. I miss those days. I can remember getting in church. I remember every Friday night, it was all about street preaching. It was that we could not wait for Friday night to go street preaching. You say, what is that? Something that God was doing inside me. I was just trying to work up for myself. I wasn't sitting there thinking, golly, one more hour and I got to go. That's not what it was. I couldn't wait. I remember going over there to Pigeon Forge. We're on that street over there, on those street at that bridge, and we're sitting there on the side of the road. We're preaching. I don't have any clue what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm doing the best I can do. I'm just getting scripture out there, and I'm so excited. I can remember one time we went over there, and it's raining. And look, you know, we went on there anyway, and there wasn't no rain. We were excited. Lord's held off the rain for us. We sat there and preached for 45 minutes. I remember standing there, me and Brother Dave, and it's like about that time the clouds opened up. I know this is going to be spooky to you. But the clouds opened up a little bit, and the sun came. It's right where the sun was at. And the sun shined down on that bridge right there, right before we got ready to quit. Just like the Lord was saying, all right, you better get in the van. It's getting ready to cut loose. And we no more sooner got in that van that the rain, and we were so excited. Nobody was saying, hey, get fired up. I was excited. We were there. I remember Brother Dave, the first time he ever preached on the street, the first time. It was on Fred C. Ashley Bridge. We're standing there. Might have been Brother Gary's on the corner. Me and David got down here. I have run a bridge, and I was preaching, and he looked at me, and he said, I said, you going to preach, brother? He said, oh, I don't know. I said, well, you can do it. And I told him on his answering machine, he had a verse on his answering machine. I said, just quote that verse on your answering machine. Just do it. I said, 1 John 5:12. He said, all right. So the light turns red, cars start backing up, he's standing there. Take a deep breath. He says, the Bible says in 1 John 5:12. What does it say, Jack? I said, he that hath the Son. Yeah. He that hath the Son. You say, well, we were excited. You know what? You can have it. You can have that. You can be excited about going to a meeting. You can be as excited about going to a meeting as you are about that next big football game. But you know what? God's got to do it in your life. So what is it? The Lord has got to stir you up. It's the Lord that stirred up the spirit of Cyrus. You got to pray, and not just one prayer. He was talking about importunity praying. He said, I'm a good God. I'll give you what you need. I'm a better father than what you are. And what you need is you need the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll give it to you if you'll ask me. That's what he says. So are you going to ask him? That's the question. Are you going to ask? I just can't give out tracts. Ask God to help you. And you watch how much it's on your mind. How excited you get to hand out gospel tracts. How excited you are about reading. God, help me to love to read my Bible. God, help me to love to read my Bible. That's what you got to get down and pray. Don't even pray about anything else. If you're backslid, what you need is you need the right heart. Everything else is just going through the motions anyway. You know what you need if you're backslid? You need God in your life. He needs to be stirring you up. Quit worrying about the prayer list. Quit worrying about what prayer somebody's got on Facebook. Quit worrying about what somebody else asking you to pray about. Or do I need to read my word? Am I in my Bible reading? Did I read this page? Quit worrying about all that. And get on your face and start begging God to stir you up.
Amen.
And everything else will fall in place.
Right.
It'll all happen. You'll be excited again. Look at Acts chapter 17. When God stirs you up, there's some things will happen to you. And it's going to be emotions. Regardless of how bad you hate it, how bad you want to sit here and think that I'm emotional, they're not going to hold me on an emotional string. That preacher ain't going to control me. Listen, you're emotional. God's got, just get over it and get ready to go. Look in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 16. The Bible says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. You know what? You know what? You know what he did? It was one of his senses. It was his eyes. You know what he did? He's walking around. He's waiting on Timothy. He left up there at Thessalonica. He comes down here. He's in Athens. He's waiting on him. It's no big deal. I ain't going to get into nothing. I'm just going to sit around. I'm just going to be calm. I'm not going to start no trouble. I'm just going to be good. And he sits down and he looks. And they got somebody over there praying to an unknown God. And you know what? That happens to us every day.
Amen.
And it don't affect us at all. You know what? It affected him. He sat there and he looked at that thing and he says, my spirit got stirred. I couldn't shut up. He said, so what was it? It was his emotions. It was what he saw. It was one of his senses. It says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore, because his spirit was stirred, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Look what he did. He started arguing over the Bible. Therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? Shouldn't ask that question. Because he's getting ready to go off and tell you who the real God is. He said, look, you're sitting over here, got this thing to say to the unknown God? Let me tell you who God is. Let me tell you what he did for me on the road to Damascus. Let me tell you, I was blind, I couldn't see, and I ran head on into Jesus Christ. And you know what he did? My eyes was lifted, I could see, I got saved. The Lord Jesus Christ is who I serve now. And let me tell you about him. He's the creator of the universe. He'll change you. He'll make you different. I used to kill people that went to church. Now I'm one of them. You know what? That's what he said. And if you get stirred up, that's what you're going to be thinking. And if you ain't thinking that, you ain't filled with the Spirit. You're filled with the world. All of us. If that's what's going on. And you say, how do I fix it? You pray. God, I need you in my life. God, I got to get right. God, it's you I need. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. It's something that he saw. Get you stirred up. You know what? You can stir yourself up. Get God in your life and things can change. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. There's nothing wrong with getting stirred up. Nothing at all. Nothing wrong with falling in love with the work of the God. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, look at verse 12. He says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things," the stuff that he was talking about that'll keep you from falling. He said, negligent. To put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet. I think it's the right thing to do, is what he's saying. I think it's meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. You know what you need to do sometimes? You need to remember some things. You need to remember where you were. You need to remember what God did in your life. You need to look around and see where you're at sometimes. I was driving down the road the other day and I seen this lady on the side of the road. And I had Stephen in the vehicle with me. And she's on the side of the road. You know what she's doing? She's taking care of a cross on the side of the road. Mowing it, fixing it, putting stuff on it. You know what the Lord did? Look across the seat. Wouldn't that be terrible? Be terrible. Sometimes you need to be reminded of some things. Sometimes it don't matter what somebody said to you at work. Who cares? And you can't wait to go tell somebody what somebody said. And you're so tore up. And you go down the road, and all of a sudden, things get put in perspective. I driving down through, I just remember thinking, man, that'd be terrible. Be terrible. You just need some memories. You need some memories of things, the way things used to be. And people sit there and they're like, man, I used to do this and I used to do that. But you can't even get stirred up enough. You can't even get stirred up enough to go to the altar. And I know there's nothing magical about the altar, but there wasn't nothing magical about it when you used to go either. Well, I can get right with God sitting back here on the pew, can you? I'm just saying. There was a time in your life when that preacher would preach. He hit you every time you went. You wanted to get right every time he preached. You wanted to get on this altar. You wanted to sit down and you cried to God, "Lord, I'm terrible. God, you got to do something in my life." And now we hear a message. Just get right, sit in the pew. I know there ain't nothing magical. I'm just saying there wasn't nothing magical before. Why did we go before? What's happened in our life? What I'm saying is, it just shows us where we're at. Our actions and our reactions and what we do shows us where we're at. And sometimes you need to be put in a remembrance of some things. I used to go to the altar. Man, I used to go to the altar all the time. I used to be down there, and I can remember, man, weeping and crying. Not trying to impress anybody. I'm just saying, you just remember going, and your heart was tender, and you were just wanting to get right. You're just wanting to please the Lord. And so what you got to do sometimes, you got to be put in remembrance and say, here's where I'm at. Here's where I used to be. What have I got to do to get back and to get my heart right and to get things going on? Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3 is the same thing. He says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us the apostles, the Lord and Savior." And he goes on down through there talking about what's going to happen in the future. And sometimes you got to be put in remembrance of what this world is and where it's going and what's going ahead. You know, you can get stirred up over anything. In World War I, there was a pilot. His name was Frank Luke. He was a young guy, fresh in the World War I. But he wanted to fly. I mean, planes hadn't even been around long before that. And in World War I, what the Germans would do is they had these things called observation balloons. And these balloons would go up real high, and then they could look, and they could see everything on the enemies on our side. And they could call in strikes, they could do everything, and there were hundreds, instead of 10 or 20 people getting killed because of these observation balloons, there were hundreds of people getting killed. And they got to where these people, our side, just despised those observation balloons. They despised them. And they were filled with helium, and they're real thick material that they were made out of. And this young pilot came in, and they didn't really like him at first because he's real arrogant and he was real quiet. But they said he really wasn't that way. He was just quiet, and he appeared that way. But he just wanted to kill Germans. That's just what he wanted to do. He was just fired up, stirred up, could not wait. Said they would get up there, and he would start flying. And as soon as he'd start flying, he would look for those things. He became the second most pilot that shot down the most enemies in World War I. He had the second most kills, 18. The number one was 26. But he knocked out 18 enemies in a matter of like 18 days. And he would come back, and his plane would be riddled with holes. Where the way they did these observation balloons, they would have like people with machine gun nests down there. And they would be protecting these balloons. And then they would have aircraft that would come in. As soon as the enemy would come in trying to shoot down one of these balloons, they'd have like just all kinds of aircraft come in and shoot that enemy plane down, us. And so anytime you went in, and then when you did shoot one and it exploded, they said you couldn't even hardly get out of the way before it exploded. Most of the time you'd burn up. So the people didn't even, and if you made one pass and didn't get it, you hightailed it away because the enemy's after you, they're shooting after you, and you're going to get shot down, and you're going to die. And this guy kept telling them, I'm going to start shooting the balloons down. And they were like, yeah, whatever, rookie, whatever, whatever. And so finally one day he gets in there and he takes off and he goes down and he goes real high, he nosedives, and he goes down, he's shooting at that balloon, and he's hitting that thing, and he's peppering that, all the machine guns coming up at him, and it's going through his plane, and then you got the fighter pilots that's chasing him and trying to shoot him down. He goes down through there, and it didn't go up. He missed it. He hit it, but it didn't blow up. So he circles back, and he decides to take another run at it the second time. And he goes down the same thing, and he's bah, 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 and they're there. Now there's more people chasing him. He's going down and misses. He goes the third time. And now it's like this, it's everybody's after him. And finally he hits that thing and it blows up. And he takes off and he goes back and he's all excited. He got so excited, so stirred up about that. He said, I'm going back. So they got his plane ready the next day. He's going back, and that's all he was doing. He was shooting down planes. He was shooting down those observations. In 18 days, he took down 18 targets. And one day he got out of his cockpit and it was shots all over the place, and he got out and he had a gun on his holster. Had a holster on his side there with a gun in it. And the mechanic said, what are you going to do with that? He said, when I get shot down, I'm not getting taken in. He said, when I go down, if I'm not dead, I'm not getting taken in. I'm getting taken prisoner by the enemy. And so finally, after 18 days, like September the 18th, 1918, I think, something like that, he's going down, and he'd shot down three balloons. And they were after him bad now. And everybody was fired up. The people that was against him before, man, they were all excited about him now. He was just getting these kills, and he finally got shot down enough to where his plane went down. Well, they came down after that and found him. And there was like seven Germans that were dead. And he'd got a bullet right in the heart, and he had that gun out where he had emptied his holster. 22 years old, a matter of 3 or 4 months in the military, gave everything because he was so stirred up about fighting for America, fighting for the right side. And we as Christians can't get stirred up and don't want to get stirred up. He was willing to die. He didn't have to. He could have been taken prisoner. He could have been over there and could have got out, been a prisoner of war. He wasn't getting taken prisoner. He shot till he was empty and they killed him. He said, I'm giving it everything. And as a Christian, we're sitting here tonight. We're talking about getting stirred up. And I've sat here and I've told you, all you got to do is become importunity praying people. Is to get a hold of God and say, God, I want it back. That's all you got to do. But yet we're going to sit here and we're going to think about it. And we're not going to do anything about it. Some of us. Some of us don't need it. Some of you fired up. Some of us, we need it. And the question is, it's the same question you was faced with when you got saved. Are you going to do it or not? It's up to you. You're here tonight. You've got the opportunity to just get started. God, I just want to get back. I just want to get started back. You're going to have to do all this for me because I can't do it, Lord. I just want to start tonight. Lord, please do something in my heart. Stir me up. I've got to get stirred up or I'm going to waste my life getting stirred up about the wrong things. However you want to pray. God just wants you to come to Him and beg Him for His Holy Spirit power. That's what He wants. Let's all stand.